Hi, you're listening to Love, Work, Skills for a Relational Life. I'm Jerry Sander. My co-host is Christy Gaisford in Salt Lake City. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Jerry. Good to see you.
Good to see you. The topic is a hard one, and it's one that was sort of the rage being talked about when the Barbie movie came out. As that was the most I heard this word in 10 years, I think, which it was patriarchy. Mm-hmm. And the topic for today, as I understand it, is how does patriarchy show up in our relationships? How does it affect us in our relationships? And I know you've got a bunch of good thoughts about that, and I'll try and contribute too, but I turn it over to you.
Okay. Yeah, I think patriarchy affects our relationships a lot. And a lot of it is just under the surface and kind of unseen. And so I think on the simplest terms, patriarchy could be defined, at least this is my definition, is the man is supposed to be the provider and protector of his family. And the woman is supposed to be the homemaker, nurturer, and caretaker of the family. And so for generations, that was kind of the expectation and the way that we measured success. How well...
I think that's a good definition.
Are people meeting these roles? And there, obviously, there's a lot of problems with it and things that come up. A lot of people feeling really hemmed in and by these confined, you know, by these roles. And no matter how much we try to kind of break out of these roles and break against these expectations, because we've been soaked in them for so long, even if cognitively we don't agree with them, we still have it in us somewhere. And they come out as these kind of invisible biases or expectations, even unexamined expectations, but they come out in relationships.
I like that, and I like your use of the word invisible, because a lot of people might think or say, oh, I wasn't born into a patriarchal situation. But that's talking about patriarchy is like talking about oxygen.
Yes.
Like we were born into oxygen and, you know, we don't generally notice it or talk about it. How's your oxygen today, you know, until we don't have it. But it's so much part of the fabric of everything, not just in the United States, across the world. When I started doing a little research about this, the definition that one author came up with, who wrote a piece for CNN called What's Patriarchy? What does it mean? And why is everyone talking about it? And it derives from a Greek word, which literally means the rule of the father, and is referred to a social system where men control a disproportionately large share of socioeconomic, political, and religious power, and inheritance passes down through the male line.
Wow.
So
that's a good definition.
And I think for those of us who would like to say, I don't recognize being or living in a patriarchy, consider how odd and special and strange it is to consider having a female president for the first time, if there were to be one. Because we just assume, of course, it will be some guy. So that's a good example to me of, I don't even think about it until something's out of line. Like in the 1970s, it was a big victory for women to be able to get a credit card in their own name without their husband's permission or signature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's hard for a man to imagine not being allowed to buy an expensive lawnmower without your wife's signature and permission.
Totally.
Or something. Well, that's the thing about privilege is you you get used to it. You don't think of it as, I'm specially entitled or anything. It just feels like normal. And I think both sides, here's where Terry Real, I think, made a contribution. He said that patriarchy was you're divided at birth into masculine or feminine. One is superior to the other, the masculine over the feminine, and both sides agree to continue to support this arrangement with the masculine on top. So the implications for our relationships are big because this sort of deforms natural growth for both little boys and little girls. As a father, the things that I would want for my child are kind of the same, whether they're in a female body or a male body. I want them to be good people. I want them to be generous. I want them to be kind. I want them to be good listeners. Is that masculine or is that feminine? So that's where the distortions start coming in, that certain things are girly things and certain things are guys' development things.
Right.
And that's my starting point.
There's so many tasks that I've heard them call pink tasks and blue tasks, you know? And so if you grew up seeing your mom do all the pink tasks, which the cleaning and the cooking and the household chores, and your dad did all the blue tasks in the yard and the cars and the more masculine things, you might not even think about it. You just assume that you're going to be in charge of these and your husband will do the blue tasks. And then as society changes and more women are in the workforce, there's this distribution of tasks that still feels uneven. It's like, but now I'm working too. Yeah. So I need you to help with these things. And it doesn't, it hasn't caught up as quickly as the change in our society.
It hasn't caught up. I agree. And I remember seeing a film when I was in school way back in the 70s. It was by a group of women called Wages for Housework. They wanted pay for doing housework. And it showed a man who worked in a GM factory as an auto worker. Good guy, working class guy. He was interviewed and he said, I work so hard all day long, 5 days a week. When I come home, I am not going to clean up the house. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to do it. Someone else is going to have to do it. Now, okay, was that entitlement? I mean, from his point of view, he was working really hard to contribute everything he could. And if the woman was being expected to do this, this was at a time before a lot of women were in the workforce and the numbers that they're in now, then how is this deal going to be made equal? That was the question. Because it's the inequality that becomes like privilege and forms resentment. But oddly enough, this arrangement foments resentment on both sides.
Right. Because
on both sides.
Part of the problem, I think, is that in our society, we value productivity and we have our worth based on how hard we work and how much we make. And so if somebody's in the workforce and they're bringing home a big paycheck, it's easier to value their job to the one who's at home not getting a paycheck. And it's so much invisible labor that you're not even aware goes into running a household and raising children. And I've heard a lot of things, especially when divorces happen, like, well, I earned that money. That's my money. I'm the one that went to work and earned that money, completely disregarding all of the work that his wife put in all those years, but she didn't get a paycheck for it.
That's right. It's at the end of the line when lawyers are involved and judges are involved and things are divided in half that it suddenly occurs to people, oh, this was a 50-50 proposition. I didn't really know that.
Right.
So, but I want to kind of rewind this back to our inner expectations. So I know I can kind of represent how a lot of men feel, but I'm wondering if you can represent how women feel in the patriarchy regarding expectations from themselves traditionally in a relationship.
I think that women feel like they have to be good partners and they have to be really good moms and they have to be really good homemakers and keep everything running smoothly and looking good. And more are in the workforce too. So they feel like they have to do well at work, and they feel like they have so many balls in the air that they feel very overwhelmed and underappreciated and worn out. And they feel like they're failing in every area because there's so much expected of them. And they're supposed to do all of it with a smile on their face, not showing their stress, and looking good while they do it.
Wow. That would be a traditional interpretation. And if you do all that and you're smiling and looking good and doing all that, and it still feels like there's badness in the marriage or something's out of sync or that it's not working.
They take all that on too. Then it's like, I'm also supposed to be managing everybody else's feelings and everyone else's happiness. So the spouse, yeah. The kids, I'm supposed to be managing all of that as well.
Okay. So obviously if there's not the feeling of happiness or harmony in the home, they take it on as I am a failure.
Yeah, they're not enough. They're doing something wrong. They're not enough.
So let's go over to the men's position in that kind of thing. If they are working hard in a traditional, I mean like 1950s, mm-hmm. You know, they're working hard, knocking themselves out, competing with other men to get the best job, the raise, get to be the top of the food chain in their business or profession. And there's a lot of anxiety and worry that goes into that. And they're succeeding at work and being paid well for it. And then they come home and there's the feeling of upset or resentment or general unhappiness. Men get in such arrangement very disturbed in the direction of either feeling like a personal failure, like I just obviously don't get it at all, or go one up into what the hell is wrong with my wife. This is in heterosexual marriage. What is wrong with this person? In which case, in patriarchy, you got both the guy and the woman saying there's something wrong with the woman.
Yeah. Yep.
So for a woman to get healthy, I mean, what are the implications? How does a woman get healthy in such a patriarchal arrangement?
Well, I guess what you're saying is they start to realize that it isn't just me, that I can't be expected to do everything, that there's a limit, and they learn healthier boundaries, and then they start to say, hey, I need more from you, from my male partner. Yeah. And the male partner can either rise to the challenge, so to speak, or resent her for speaking up, and it kind of shifts the system.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, oftentimes the guys will respond by saying, well, I watched my father and my mother, and she cleaned the house and cooked and dad worked, you know? I remember my father and mother having this conversation, but it went along the line of my father saying, you know, my mother used to wake up and make such and such for me for breakfast when I was young. And my mother said, good, why don't you call your mother and see if she'll come over and do that? So it's a setup mm-hmm. for mucho resentment and non-appreciation. We talk about kind of gratitude and expressing gratitude for your partner who's knocking themselves out to make this household successful. It's set up for resentment, I think, because the guys also feel like I would love to stay at home. How many times have you heard this? I would love to stay at home, you know, eat bonbons, watch TV, and whatever it is you do around here, right? That's the phrase that gets them so upset. You know, I would love to be able to do that, but I can't.
What do you do all day anyway? What do you do all day? When I'm at work all day, what do you even do at home all day? Why can't you get to that? Don't you have so much free time? Yeah, they have no idea.
And then you leave a guy alone with like three kids or something, and by the end of the day, he's like, okay, yes. I get it, you know. But yeah, so there's this sense of I would love to not have this pressure on me as a guy. And there is, patriarchy sets it up. If the guy's the provider and the ultimate arbiter of what happens in this family, there's tons of pressure. That is not a teamwork approach. That's not like there's two of us wise adults here. How can we make things better for our whole family? It's more like I'm in charge. I can't screw this up. I got to get this right.
And there's also,
and if you got
to
get,
well, there's so much pressure also on the woman to get these kids right. This whole job of raising human beings to be successful, responsible, good people is on me under patriarchy as well.
Yes.
And they feel enormous pressure equally. And I don't think there's enough appreciation either way because they're both so overwhelmed. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. Instead, when you get them in couples therapy, sometimes they start throwing hand grenades at each other and minimizing each other's contribution, which is when they calm down, they realize both sides are contributing, are creating, they're co-creating their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. But a lot more women, I don't know if you're seeing this, but I'm seeing a lot more women that are the breadwinners. And that carries a lot of, I guess, complications under patriarchy also, because they're providing for their family and they're doing a great job. But because they're raised in patriarchy, they still think they're supposed to do all the roles of the traditional woman as well. Or they think they're failing as a wife and mother. And so I see them wearing themselves so thin and kind of running ragged to prove that my kids aren't going to suffer because I'm the breadwinner. Instead of knowing, well, you can't do all of it. And even some of them, their husband is a stay-at-home dad and he's doing a good job. But because we're all baked in patriarchy, I see these men as doing a great job and carrying this sort of secret shame that I'm not providing. And the woman is carrying secret shame that I shouldn't be providing. I should be with my kids more.
And if you think about this, this is often framed or experienced by a couple as some kind of emasculation, or that, you know, he's being the house mommy now or something like that, and she's being the breadwinner. Actually, you're really fortunate that one of the two of you have a really good job. It'd be easier probably if there were two really great jobs, but you know, maybe you'll have an arrangement that'll work for you. It's not, gee, you've failed as a man. It's only in patriarchy that, you know, that that's distortion takes in. Would they be happier if the wife wasn't bringing in that money and you could both be poor together? So let's say that this has played itself out through the centuries in all different countries. There were only evidence that I could find of two matriarchal societies that were far away in like Indonesia or Africa. But rest is patriarchy, and it's played itself out. And in the United States, with these job changes that you're talking about, with more women coming out of college, highly educated and ready for jobs that less men are ready for, you're finding an increase in what's called deaths of despair. Princeton University Press published a book called Deaths of Despair and the Future of Capitalism. And it showed that life expectancy in the U.S., has fallen for 3 years in a row.
Really?
Something not seen since 1918 or in any other wealthy nation in modern times. And mostly it's from what they call deaths of despair.
Wow.
Think white males. from suicide, drug overdose, and alcoholism have all risen dramatically, and they claim hundreds of thousands of American lives each year, and they are still rising, these numbers. And that leads to the gap in life expectancy between women and men is larger than it's ever been before. It's 5.8 years. So women live an average of almost 6 years longer than men. And people are speculating the reason is more men are dying due to drug overdoses, suicide, and gun violence. This is a Journal of American Medical Internal Medicine.
So tie that back to patriarchy. What do you think?
That these guys are messed up. They're the rules that they were born into and raised with, that a guy's got to go up and earn the top dollar and the little lady will stay at home and take care of things. It's not working that way. It's not playing out that way. She's the one with a reliable job. He's the one who may have told the boss to go shove it and got fired or something. These are not college-educated professional people. These are working-class people who in the past, getting a good job in our capitalist system would help them a lot. Now they're finding they're not getting those jobs, and the women have more access to more steady jobs and more professional jobs. So the guys
have
a loss.
Relationships.
There's a deep feeling.
Women generally have more relationships.
There's a deep feeling of failure. I think the feeling of failure dovetails nicely with alcoholism and guns and suicide and violence and stuff like that. Just feeling like things are messed up and I don't know where to start, but I personally feel like a failure as a man. And as a man, you know, again, what is the grid that you were using to measure that by? Patriarchy is a very unforgiving grid. If you're the guy, you better be the provider. If you're not, you're a loser.
Yeah, it's a very, very narrow definition. And I want to say this because I do think it's unconscious a lot of times, because I know that in with my clients, cognitively, like logically, they know that this situation works great for their family. They know that their wife is a great provider. They like being home with the kids. They've worked out a great balance. Like logically, everything's fine, but it's like those underlying feelings that, like I keep saying, were baked into us that come up. And then it's the comments you get from all the other people around you that keep reinforcing the patriarchy. Like, oh, you don't work? Or to the woman who works, oh, well, what about your kids? How does it affect them? You know, like these questions that kind of give all these meanings of like, ooh, what's wrong with you? Why are you different? I hope your kids aren't harmed, you know, and women deal with that all, and men deal with that all the time whenever they go against the norm.
That's exactly right. And I'm thinking that the response to, like, when people get wise about how patriarchy sets us all up for failure or for not being able to be easily relational with each other, it sets us up for resentment. In the 70s, I remember when feminism was very strident, there were just calls to smash patriarchy. And that tended to get acted out in the direction of men as like, smash this guy, you know? And I don't think of this. I think of this as an insidious system. Not so much men acting really badly, deliberately to women, to oppress them and hold them down. I think half the time they don't even know they're doing it or coming off like a jerk or something. So being met with smash how you are has a violent ring to it, and I don't think was effective at all. I think it would be better to talk about melting patriarchy.
Yeah.
It's the
system that hurts everybody. It's not like men hurting women. It's the system that's hurting both men and women.
I think so. And so how can we offer changes to it within the relational kind of therapy we do? How do we even the field and help these resentments go
away? I think we have to uncover the unconscious beliefs. Like, what did you see growing up? So that, like, that was your template. So you have these expectations that even if you don't maybe believe them, they still come up in you sometimes, you know? Well, you should be mowing the lawn. Well, why? Well, my dad always mowed the lawn. You know, just little things need to be uncovered and then talked about in a fair distribution. So both people feel appreciated. Like, I had a client who was in residency. He was a man and he worked really, really long hours. And he said to his wife, it would mean a lot to me if when I came home after 16 hours, if there was dinner on the table, like, I'm starving. Mm-hmm. And she said, what is this, the 1950s? And the thing is, there was nothing wrong with him wanting her to have a meal for him because he really was working really hard, right? Yeah. But sometimes there's so many stereotypes that we can't step back and look at what's really happening and how we can love each other better and how we can both give.
Yeah. And if she could look at with empathy, what had she seen growing up and what had she seen that was unfair? Or what did she see that upset her? You know, a lot of these attitudes are formed before you even met your partner. Mm-hmm. And you bring it in. It's like Kebmo has a song called Suitcase. These are things we bring in a suitcase and unpack with our partner. You know, these upsets or resentments or ready to fight about things. It's nice to have dinner, but it's also nice to not have to always be the one who's expected to do dinner. You know, what about the reverse, you know? And can you work together? I mean, that I try and help people see they're in a biosphere together and they can have it, you know, with hand grenades going off in this biosphere, or they can acknowledge each of us has strengths and weaknesses and it doesn't align with gender stereotypes. It really doesn't. Mm-hmm. I am really bad at assembling things. I assemble, you know, like IKEA furniture. Where it's all like visual, they don't even give you the words to show you, you know, to tell you how to. I have literally assembled pieces of furniture where I realized afterwards a piece was upside down and backwards.
See, and I'm really good at that. I love that. Isn't that funny? I've built so much IKEA furniture.
Well, you're all right, good, and you know, my wife has these amazing skills in this direction. We'll take out, and again, we're all good at some things better than other things. We all have strengths and weaknesses. I'll watch her, you know, take out a white sheet, unpack the stuff, and make sure everything that came in the package is the number of screws that are supposed to be in the package. Like, they're right there, and this is right there. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Well, let's just start assembling. No, let's make sure. And her way works. Mm-hmm. It's like my way is upside down and backwards. So when it's time to assemble things, I will look to and defer to her. And I think she looks to and defers to me on some other things. So who's in charge? I don't know. Whoever's got the particular skill is in charge of that particular task. And that to me is equal. It's not patriarchal or matriarchal. This is really... It always surprises me how many guys scoff at the idea that patriarchy exists, that they see it as women running everything.
Really?
I don't know if you ever run into that.
Not very often.
They may not tell you it.
Yeah, maybe they don't because I'm a woman.
But I've had guys tell me, you know, that they listen to like popular, politically out there podcasters and stuff, who convince them that women are running this country. This country's all feminized. It's all woke. It's all this sort of stuff. And that men, as used to be in the 1950s, need to reclaim their masculinity and be back in charge again. Wow. And it's really unfortunate because there's a whole bunch of young men who are sort of falling prey to this because at least someone's talking to them about what it means to be a man. And I think there's a real deficit here that we've got to do a better job of talking to young men about equality and alternatives to patriarchy that don't make you weaker. It makes you stronger.
Right. And it makes you better. Yeah, it makes relationships so much better. I think it's about respecting each other and kind of getting rid of the stereotypes. Like, what would make you feel more loved? What do you feel resentful about? What could I do that would help you feel more supported? And if that's coming both directions, then you both feel better. It's not just one person being a pleaser to the controlling, demanding man, you know, or it's like, or feeling like I'm not going to cook him dinner. Who does he think I am? It's like, no, cooking dinner is a lovely thing to do. But like you said, you just don't want to feel like you have to or you're in trouble.
Not all the time. Yeah. I also want to point out, we're talking about a very limited paradigm of heterosexual marriage here, that when you add in the entire continuum of sexualities and gender identifications and stuff, it makes a lot of sense to not view anything through a patriarchal model anymore, because you just get a lot of different kind of folks with different identifications and whom they're attracted to and stuff. And yet some can act like jerks and go one up on the other partner and stuff. That can all be worked with. That's different from having an allegiance to a system that divides people into two groups and one group's on top of the other group, you know? So I think when we leave the heterosexual model to a more expansive continuum model, it makes ever more sense to set patriarchy aside.
Yeah. I mean, but I just don't think we can set it aside without uncovering it, because a lot of people don't even think they're in patriarchy, but they're still reacting to it because they were raised in it, and it's coming out in lots of unconscious ways.
So how do you handle that? Like, when it comes out in an unconscious way, or if a guy says to you, I don't know, I'm just old school.
I don't have it that come out that way as much as like maybe somebody feels less than because they're not providing. And I'll sit, you know, help them uncover, you know, are you happy in what you're doing? Well, I think some of these feelings are coming because you were raised in patriarchy, and there's this unconscious message that you're not doing what is valued in our society. You're not living the role that we value, and you're not providing financially. And so you think you're failing, when in reality, you're creating so many amazing things and you're not failing at all, but you can't get away from patriarchy.
I think we can challenge ourselves to move things forward, to move the needle forward over what our grandparents and parents were raised in. I would hope that my children can move the needle forward in many areas over what I was raised in. I will take that as a compliment if they can. This is actually funny, because I was driving along. You know, I've had a big car year. I've had a big year about cars. Maybe I'll talk about that someday. But I'm driving along, and I see this Chevy drive past me, and it's a new Chevy, and it was a really ugly color. Sorry, Chevy, but some of the new Equinox colors are awful. It's just awful, right? And I've seen the interiors too, because I looked, because they're doing all kinds of electric vehicles now, and the interiors are pretty awful. If anyone is upset with me for saying this, just write into us and complain. But it was a really pretty ugly car, you know. But on an emotional level, my grandpa had a Chevy, and I just remember it so fondly that I thought, wouldn't it be cool for me to have a Chevy in the next part of my life and be like grandpa? And then I thought, yeah, but they're so ugly. I don't have to like be old school and get an ugly car just because he had a cool one in the 1960s. So I can move forward and say, yeah, that's sentimental. I remember old school, but I want to do things differently. Right.
And I think if we can support each other, like, support our friends who have a different lifestyle, support our neighbors, support our community. Don't make comments like, well, what do your kids do when you're working? Or, well, what does your husband do, as if he's a failure because you work? Or, you know, how does that affect your children when you...
Or out earning. Yeah. Like if the woman out earns a man, fine, great, good. Have an earning competition. Everyone earn a lot of money as long as things are being taken care of at home. Like, how about rooting for each other? Being supporters of each other, right? Being proud of each other. Yeah, it's not a like one person win, one person loses thing.
Everybody's carrying a pretty hard burden. So trying to be understanding of what they're going through and what the burden is like for them.
And we've talked about this, that raising kids is crazy making for both parents.
Mm-hmm.
There's hardly anyone who feels like, oh, I do it really well.
I know. That's very true.
I don't think I've ever heard that from a father. A father saying, oh, yeah, I raised my kids very well. I have no no regrets.
I don't think I've heard it from a mother either. I mean, we're so hard on ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. So a team is needed, and a team of equals. I don't think that's unrealistic at all. I don't think that's feminism to say a team of equals, you know, like not feminism used as a negative adjective. I don't think it's woke. I don't think it's weak. I don't think it's girly stuff. It's just like common sense, having a team of equals. And if you don't think you're equal, if you don't think you have an equal partner, you kind of have a problem. You kind of are one up and need to be brought down.
Yeah. Yeah. And just write down all of the things that need to be done and talk about how you want your household to be and try to think outside the box. Don't just think it has to be the way it always was and then feel overburdened and resentful.
But the key thing is, how do we want this to be? Mm-hmm. How do we want this to be? Not when are you going to go pick up the bird seed? You know, like how are we going to feed the birds is a better question. So I don't feel like fighting. You know, I feel like admitting, oh yeah, we're going to talk really briefly about what it's like to be a man in this discussion and what it's like to be a woman this discussion.
What's it like to be a man in this discussion, Jerry?
Well, it almost immediately arouses some level of defensiveness where you want to identify with my fellow males as like, we didn't invent this, you know, we're not trying to be jerks. We're not trying to act. In fact, most men I know have very beautiful, loving feelings to the people they love in their lives. They're not like out to act like jerks. So to feel identified as the group in charge, you know, on top that controls all the resources when we don't even feel like we're doing that, but feel like we're just working hard, can be jolting. It can be really off-putting. It can be very upsetting. It can sound like it's not true. And it's only like when I calm down and realize some of the advantages I've had that were no-brainer advantages extended to me because I was male that I realize, oh yeah, things did come pretty easily my way in a direction it might not have for the many other women I know. Oh. What's it like for you as a woman in this discussion?
For me, it feels really hard to talk about it when men take it personally, because I don't think as women we're saying this is your fault. We're saying, please acknowledge the advantages you've had because we've been hurt by this. And we didn't have all the same opportunities that you did. And it doesn't feel like it's been fair, and the cards have been stacked against us in a lot of ways. And so if we can have the conversation with men who can say, yeah, this is what patriarchy's done and how it's hurt both of us. Cause I think it's hurt men a lot too, relationally. And when we can have the conversation, about patriarchy, not about men versus women. That's where progress is made. If a man gets defensive and says, you know, well, we didn't do that, you'd whatever. It's like, it just feels like it's not worth having the conversation because you're missing the point. Let's acknowledge the system and how it's affected all of us.
I like that. And if we can together step away from that system and come up with a better way of doing things, then we all win, really.
Totally.
Good.
Good discussion.
Well, we'll be good discussion. We'll be doing our work together in Salt Lake City next week for the boot camp, May 4th and 5th. Is it? Yeah. It'll be warm and sunny, I predict. And then we're leaving the country and doing this in Toronto, our boot camp, the first weekend in June, June 1st and 2nd.
That's going to be exciting.
So I hope you'll find out more information on our website, loveworkrelationships.com. Toggle over to How We Help Relationship Bootcamp if you haven't taken a bootcamp yet. Everyone who does says, wow, this was worth it. And I continually get happy watching 27-year-olds talk to 78-year-olds
about relationships. It really is. Highly recommend it. Cool? You're so beautiful.
Yeah. All right, so till next time. Thank you, Christy. Great conversation.
You too. Have a great weekend. Bye.
You too.